Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Vancouver Mixtape here on CJSF 98.1 FM Burnaby. We are the campus community radio station from Simon Fraser University. We are broadcasting on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. You can stream us online at cjsf.ca. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and all of our podcasts can be found on SoundCloud and our website. Hey, you got a request? Give us a text, 778-782-CJSF. I'm Jamie, host of the show, going solo tonight. No Jesse, and by solo, I mean no other host, because in studio tonight, we have the wonderful Kane Price, a.k.a. Matt Wilkins. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Jamie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm so good. We're gonna talk your new single, re-release of a single, new video. And we're going to talk about some of the other cool and exciting things going on in your life, as well as some of your favorite bands and musicians from in and around this town. But first, we're going to kick things off with a new track from one of my favorite bands. This is Costin with DFYF, and you're listening to it on the tape. That was Gostin with DFYF. They have a new single, new video. Go find it on YouTube. It's amazing. I love that band. But speaking of new videos, Matt from Kane Price is in studio. You have a new video for your song, A Moment.
I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It was a long time coming. So.
Is this your first major video, or have you've recently released some before?
Yeah, it's my second. The first of which I released with a friend of mine, Chris Mills, who's a visual artist, who's now based out of the States. But this was the first of its kind. Like, it was the first one where he had like a big crew, and I was a part of it, and it was like filmed live. Like, this last one was all digital, so it was, yeah, a new experience, super fun.
Yeah, and we'll get more into like the nitty gritty of the production behind it all. But I do gotta ask, because you did this for your song "A Moment," mm-hmm. which you'd already released as a single a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Why'd you decide to go to this song as the one that you want to do a video for?
Yeah. So this song is it was actually. A friend of mine, Chase Spence, who's a phenomenal videographer and director, he came to me with an idea for a music video, and he was like, it was part of his film studies program. He was like, they've given me time, they've given me a day to, and he was like, and I want to do your music, and he was like, my one request is that I want to do this song. And he brought up, you know, the old version of A Moment, which, like, I don't know if any of our listeners at home have heard it on Bandcamp or on Spotify, but it's not very good. Like, it's
it does suck ass. You're absolutely right.
But yeah, no, this is the quality was really poor, and like, I recorded it like by myself when I was really young. So my buddy Chase was like, "Oh, let's do this song," and I was like, "Okay, but we can't like." I got to re-record it. So we spent the next, gosh, like a year shooting the video, re-recording the song, remixing the song, remastering, and now here it is. Now it's out.
Now, did you, how did it feel, I guess, to kind of revisit something that, as you said, is already like pretty old to you? And you've almost had a chance to digest the process of creating that song, and now you're like revisiting that. What's that experience like for you?
It was really funny, actually. I found myself thinking that the whole time when I was making this song, because the song itself it's like a breakup song about someone that I was, you know, in a relationship with 15 years ago. I think it was like a long time ago, and the song was written a long time ago. So I was like singing all these lyrics, being like, "Damn, like this don't resonate with me at all." I had to like get back into that headspace and like feel those feelings again, which was very strange, because I was like, I don't care so much anymore. But it was really fun, and it was like a cool experience, I think, also to kind of go through this song and, you know, think about the mistakes that were made in the last one and be like, you know, make changes, make updates, and kind of just do it all over again. It was fun.
Cool. Now, before we get into kind of like the nitty gritty of the production of the video, because the concept of the video itself is actually like really, really cool, and I'd like to learn more about like how you guys threw that together. Continue on with like the re-recording of this song. You mentioned that there was mistakes and stuff that you noticed this time, or like you noticed in re-recording it that you kind of suss out a little bit. Like, what were some of those flourishes or production bits? What was it about it that you were able to kind of straighten out in a more contemporary Kane Price vision?
I think one of the really big ones was just like the getting more people involved, I think, was like the big piece. Because like with the original one, it was me. It was like me and my laptop, essentially, just kind of like sussing things out. But this time I was working closely with a good friend of mine who's worked on all of my past releases in the last year or so. His name's Cameron Gavin, and so we, you know, work together on it, and so there's a lot, the audio is just a lot better produced and all that kind of stuff. And Cam actually was doing some of the production on it too, so like a lot of the crazy like atmospheric stuff that you hear in the background of that song is thanks to him. And it's like, I would have never been able to think something like that up and add in that kind of detail, so really cool in that way.
Cool. Well, let's listen to that song now. This is A Moment, the new and improved version. You're listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the production of the video and what you're seeing when you watch it. So this is it, A Moment, Kane Price, listening to it on the Mixtape. Moment by Kane Price. You're listening to it on the Vancouver mixtape. You can also view it on YouTube because you have a brand new video.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. So the video is kind of weird.
Yeah.
because we are an audio-first medium, people couldn't see what was going on while we were playing that, but there's a lot of, like, puppetry.
Yeah.
And it's really, like, it fits the song beautifully, aesthetically, and...
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's, like, it's beautifully shot. Can you maybe talk... You said your friend wanted to do a video project on it, as, like, I guess their class project, their final one. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe talk about, like, what was the pitch that he served you?
Great question. And, Chase, if you're out there, if you're listening, I apologize, because I'm about to... I'm about to parrot what you said to me very poorly, but I think it was essentially like I think he was excited. He was excited about the idea of like, I talk about monstrosity a lot, and kind of like the lyrics in the song talk about kind of feeling, you know, like you were, you've done something to wrong somebody, or you've done something in a relationship that you regret. And I think he really tapped into that, and he was like, I want to essentially kind of do a puppet show that sort of plays with the idea of light and dark, the good and the bad of like a relationship, and then having essentially like a big scary monster in this puppet show, being kind of like the main character behind me. And then at the very end of the video, it ends up being my shadow in a way, and it's great, and sorry, Chase.
But like, that makes sense. Like, there is this suggestion that there's some sort of interplay between you, the person that we can see, you're sitting there playing a guitar the whole time, and that shadow, while the shadow is kind of commanding what's going on the screens behind it.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned it's like a pretty large production team.
Yeah.
Like they must have had like some sort of props or like narrative mapped out for the puppets that they're going to use altogether, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, they had this was the wild thing about the video itself, is so in this video, for those listening that haven't seen it, I'm sitting in this chair playing a song as a puppet show is going on behind me. And these shadow puppets are they're real puppets. They're kind of being held by performers in the background. And every time we filmed a take, the film crew had to re-perform this puppet show like over and over and over again. So yeah, it was wild. In the video, it's quote unquote just me, but there's probably like 15 people in that shot. And they're all just like moving the puppets, and like there's this like whole crazy choreographed thing going on in the back. You could hear things being like tossed around and people like climbing over each other to like get to the other screen or whatever. It was very funny.
So how long was the the timeline in making this video then?
I think it took us about 2 days of filming, but like two full days. So it'd be about an 8-hour shoot. And I think we were shooting for three, but we're able to wrap it pretty quick. But then after that, I mean, there was a lot of cutting together takes. Because I think the way it was shot was they filmed me playing the song in one continuous take multiple times. And then like for the months following, they would like splice the best takes together.
God, you must have been sick of your own song, hey?
Oh, dude. so sick of it. It was wild. But it was really funny because it was like they, you know, like most music videos, right? They like play the song and you're like lip syncing to it or whatever.
Yeah.
And Chase, the director, was like, he was like, I want you to actually sing it.
Yeah, because you could tell. Like and like sometimes it doesn't matter when like if it's like a big cock rock song or whatever. Yeah. Like who cares if they're lip syncing? Yeah. But like this is a pretty intimate song, intimate setting. And you're pretty like visual performer, like it'd be the kind of thing like we'd be able to tell when you're not doing it authentically, you know?
Exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah,
it seems to be the kind of performer that you are.
Yeah, but that I think was like one of my favorite parts about it was because I got to sing like so out of key and like so badly, because I was like, well, it's not a performance technically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm sure that the film crew is probably sick of hearing it too.
Yeah, especially just like they listen to the actual song, like, oh, he sounds much better on it.
Like, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, you did a good job. Well, that's pretty good. So like, what was the reception? Like, did they get an A? Do you know? Like,
I think they got pretty good marks.
I mean, they better. It's a great video.
I should hope so. Yeah. Damn, that's a really good question. I'm going to follow up and how'd you guys do? Like,
I imagine you guys like, look, man, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. Everyone liked the shots. They hated the song, though.
yeah. The song got an F.
Oh, that's funny. So, like, how have people responded to the video since you released it? I guess it was like the first week of February that came out. Hey?
Yeah. Response has been great. It's been super fun. Like, just like hearing from friends being like, oh yeah, I saw that video, and like people are sending it around. But yeah, all of it's online. So it's been weird in that way. Cause like, you know, it like with a show, you're like, oh, the turnout was great. There was a bunch of people there. But with like a video, you're just like, oh, somebody saved it. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You watch that play counter and just like go.
Yeah. Yeah. Just hit and refresh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's got super good reception and it's been, I've been chatting about it kind of all over the city as well. We were just talking about this. I was on Pacific Sound Radio a little while ago talking about it as well. And so, yeah, so it's been going great.
Now, have you had any, over the course of this experience, did it like, I don't want to say remotivate, but like did it change your motivations? Like, were you like, oh, I could do more videos? Or like, have you thought of concepts for other songs that you would want to work and make happen in maybe future projects?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've been thinking about it ever since doing that video, because the video was like, shooting it was such an amazing experience, and like, you know, as soon as it was over, I was like, can we do it again? I think this is kind of, you know, the start of maybe a new phase of like looking into what that's like and like how to be more of a visual kind of presenting artist in that way. Because I think before this video, a lot of my stuff was, you know, you never got to see me and you know, there were no videos, there were no performance things or whatever. So yeah, looking forward to it, looking forward to like potentially putting together some more stuff. I'm not going to be doing like a Lemonade or anything anytime soon, but yeah.
But it's kind of like, not to be like society nowadays, but it seems to be like that's how people consume a lot of stuff. It's like you need to have each song that you put out, like needs to have the full body of work behind it.
Yeah.
You can't just like put out a single and like, fingers crossed, like there needs to be a video, there needs to be some sort of like visual representation with it. Like there's bands out there that do Formation, like they'll do a video for every song. Maybe they're not all the highest quality videos like the one that you just put out, but like it seems to be like demand, like in demand.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's kind of the thing right now. And I think for good reason, you know, like it's like, you know, I think a lot of people are probably like, oh, it puts pressure on artists to now, you know, have to make, you know, videos or photos to accompany their work or whatever. But I don't know. I kind of like looking at it as a way to just like involve more artists in your practice. You know, I'm like, now I get to work with videographers because it's like part of the gig, part of what I do.
Hell yeah. And like, yeah. I think videographers like collaborations. So
yeah, exactly. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Now we're going to play some of your local favorites here now. We've got a regular that we've played on our show a bunch over the years that we've done the mixtape. We're going to play some Walgren. We're going to take the lead single off of, or the title track off of Yet Again the Wheel Turns. Why did you choose Walgren as one of the artists that you want to play on the show today?
I just love everything that they do. I think that they're like a phenomenal musician. And it was funny, we were just talking about this off air, but Tegan and I have like messaged on social media a lot to try and set up shows, because I'm like, oh, I feel like we would be such a good fit on the same bill.
Natural,
right?
So natural.
Yeah, yeah. But we've met probably like maybe once. So it's so funny. It's just one of those things where I'm just like, one of these days, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, make it happen, because that would be a dream show. Yeah. And I mean that literally. It'd be a dreamy show. This is Yet Again The Wheel Turns by Walgren. You're listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape.
Yeah. who teaches and who follows. Yet again the wheel turns, turns and it turns and it turns and it turns and it turns. Yet again the wheel turns, turns and it turns and it turns and it turns.
Yet Again the Wheel Turns by Walgren, off the record of the same name. You're listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. We come live to you every single Sunday night here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Stream us on CJSF.ca. You can follow the show as well as CJSF on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. This show you can find at Van Mixtape. We live tweet every live show that we do, and we're also on the gram, and you can find this show on your podcast platforms wherever you like to get those, except Spotify, because I'm pretty sure they will take down an all music show pretty quickly.
It's true.
But you can get us on Google Play, if that's still a thing, and Apple Podcasts, as well as SoundCloud. So go do that, listen to old shows. There's some really good ones. This one will be there as well. But we do have Kane Price, Matt Wilkins in our studio. We're chatting music. We're chatting your new video for A Moment, which came out earlier this month. And we're playing some of your favorites from in and around the city. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you.
So what have you got? So you've released this song, again, with the video. What else is coming down the turnpike for you here? Like, do you have songs in the can ready to go, or?
Hell yeah. I got them locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded.
You are
a very locked and loaded kind of artist. Ready to go.
Yeah. I get that a lot. I'm working on some stuff right now, actually. I was actually working on something before I came out here.
Sorry to interrupt your day.
But yeah, just like chipping away at, I think an EP kind of right now. I'm always so bad at like planning it ahead, you know? I'm like, it's a collection of songs. There might be three, there might be five, there might be seven. But yeah, just like slowly chipping away. It's pretty great. I was just recently left a day job that just had like a chokehold on my life.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like returning to music now because I had taken like a year-long break from it, essentially, as I was kind of like, you know, trying to not get fired.
it's either or, right?
Like, exactly, yeah. Right? So there's some stuff coming. But probably like spring, summer, there'll probably be some new tunes coming out. There's a couple of them that are like pretty damn near finished, so it'll be soon.
Cool. So now these are all like new songs. You're not like reworking songs that you've been playing with for years. Like these are freshies.
Yeah, brand new songs. Yeah, yeah. All new material. I'm pretty excited. It'll be the first new stuff in like quite a while. I mean, I've been slowly kind of putting singles out, but this next one's going to be, I think, a full EP or LP.
Hell yeah. That rules. And then we'll see some tours. We'll see some shows.
Hell yeah.
Let's go. Is it, we genre switching at all? Or are you keeping it in the same ballpark, you figure?
I think it's going to go even more electronic than before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And a lot more, a lot more electronic, a lot more kind of like asymmetrical, kind of weird sounding stuff, and a lot more beat driven stuff.
Oh, cool.
There's going to be some stuff, some like head bobbers this time around, which I think fans might be kind of chomping at the bit for, because I think the past few releases I've had have been a little more kind of flowy, but these next ones not so much.
Yeah, it's always interesting with your music is I always find the instrumentation in your music to be like a secondary element to it, because your voice is so unique and like it's all very melody driven.
Mm-hmm.
But like instrumentally, it's always really interesting as well. It's just kind of like, it's hard to pay attention to both things at once. So it's interesting that like you're really focusing on this kind of a beat or instrumental. Is that usually where you go first when you're writing music? Do you go instruments first and then attach a melody, or is it always not necessarily the same way?
I almost always take the singer songwriter kind of approach.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I'll write something just on the guitar, on the piano. And then once I'm satisfied with it, I'll sit down at the computer and start to kind of plug stuff in. And then usually just kind of pick it apart in the process, you know? So I'll be kind of recording stuff in and be like, you know what? I think I'm just going to get rid of the guitar entirely that I wrote this on and like put in a piano instead. Or I'm going to, you know, get rid of the hook and put like a new chorus in or whatever. So it always starts off as kind of like a, really just like a, yeah, kumbaya style kind of guitar and voice thing. And then I kind of take it to the computer and just chop it up and rework it.
Is it tough for you to like, pardon the overused expression, but like to kill your darlings? Like when you, like say, ditching the piano or guitar or like whatever you wrote the song on initially, or if you are in fact reworking and just ditch the original hook that you have, is it hard for you to see past that? Like, do you get married to those pieces while you're writing?
100%. And like, I get so fixated too on something. Like, I have to like almost convince myself to change something, you know? Like, I'll just be sitting, and I'll sit there for hours just in my little home studio just listening to the song over and over and over again, which I'm sure my girlfriend, like, loves. and just, like, trying to figure out whether I should keep something or ditch it. And, you know, sometimes that process can take, like, a month, you know, of just listening to it and just being like, oh, no, I think it should stay. And then just being like, you know, a couple weeks later, listening to it again and being like, no, I'm taking it out. And then a couple weeks after that, being like, I should put it back in. It's a very long process of, yeah.
It sucks being a musician, man.
Dude, it's the worst. I hate it.
Well, I guess, and that brings me to like my favorite question to ask musicians, because I love hearing people's methodology in songwriting, because it differs for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Especially like depending on the genre too. But what is it for you? When do you know that your song is done? Like when can you like put a bow on it and you're like, this doesn't need anything else to it?
Honestly, oh man, that's such a good and hard question. I feel like I think usually if I have the same test actually that I do for every song is at my studio. I'm almost always kind of like sitting down at the desk and like working things through. And I don't know why I do this, but at the end, the song will be more or less finished, and I'll press play, and I'll just get up and walk circles around the room, and I'm like, if I can just kind of like get lost in it and be kind of walking and like bobbing my head and like imagining somebody or imagining myself as somebody listening to it, I'm like, then it's done, you know. But if I'm kind of doing my little, if I'm pacing around the room and then something stands out and I hear it and I'm like, oh wait, no, and I have to sit down and change it, then it's like back to the drawing board.
Sure.
So yeah, I guess that was a really long-winded answer, but yeah, because I essentially just said I pace around, and if I'm able to continue pacing, then it's a win.
but like that makes sense. Like, yeah. Everybody has, like, I know there's people I know that it's the car. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll play the mix in the car.
Yeah.
And if it works in the car, then it works.
Yeah.
Like, then it feels done. Or I have other friends that are just like if we play it live and people it hits with people.
Yeah.
Then we know it's done.
Totally.
But if it doesn't hit, then like, okay, we gotta tweak it. There's something wrong. There's something not working. So like the fact that you're pacing and you're trying to get lost in it, that makes sense, because I think that's how a lot of people consume their music, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they want to be able to be transported somewhere else.
Yeah.
So if you can do that to yourself, then you did it.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Let's move to another local artist that you recommend. This is a group called Daycom.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that, like why you like them, and specifically their song "Blemish" that we're going to play next?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great. I've been following these guys for a while. They're a couple of friends of mine, Colton and James, and it's just I love the music, because it's like very. Kind of that, like, you know, that like lo-fi sort of angular, like what's the word, dark wave, is that the
yeah,
genre?
Yeah.
It's kind of got that vibe to it, and I just love it. It kind of just makes me feel kind of mysterious, and I love what they're doing.
One of my all-time favorite descriptors for a type of music is angular.
Yeah.
When somebody describes music as angular, I know exactly what they're talking about,
yeah.
And hell yeah, I'm all in.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. It's razor sharp.
Razor sharp. All right, let's get to it. This is Blemish by Daycom off of their EP 2. You are listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. Blemish by Daycom here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM. We have Kane Price in the studio. We're talking music. We're talking new music video. Video for A Moment dropped earlier this month. Go find it on YouTube. Really cool video. Again, congratulations on that release.
Thank you.
It is like really like you did a really great job on that.
Thanks.
So you've got like, you're going to be moving here shortly, hey?
I am.
Yeah, like you're going to Montreal.
I am. Montreal.
Hell yeah.
It's official. Yeah, I've been like trying to decide whether or not whether but when to post about it.
Cool. Well, I told everybody now. So.
No, it's perfect. We talked about it before. You're like, can I tell them? And I was like, you know what? What the hell?
What the hell? What the hell?
So for those of you out there that don't know, I am leaving the province.
And surprise. It's your fault.
And it's your... I'm going to be moving out to Montreal at the end of this month. To just go check out the scene there. That's about it. I'm going to maybe go back to school. I don't know, you know. We got a few pals out there, and we've heard good things about kind of the arts and culture in the city. So kind of just decided to bite the bullet and go do it and see what's going on.
Have you had much interaction with the scene out there? Like, have you played there before? Have you seen shows there before?
No, I'm kind of familiar with a lot of the stuff that's going on just by virtue of like social media. But haven't ever, I think the last time I was out there was when I was like 15. So it's definitely a fresh experience, for both me and my girlfriend who are going. But I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where I've just like heard so many good things about it. You know, so many people are like, wow, Montreal is like a great place to, you know, A, play shows, B, go to shows. I think that was kind of one of the big driving forces was, we were just like, oh, we just really want to know firsthand what it's like.
Yeah, I feel like you'll fit in there. Like, I think that they're so diverse in the music, in the music that gets popular there or like that finds a home there. Because I think that everything from just like really sloppy punk to like really beautiful singer songwriter, like soundscape type things.
Yeah.
And, like, that all rules. And I do feel like there's less of that. Like camaraderie here, or less room for those independent scenes to exist here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I don't know. As you gear up to leave Vancouver, like, what has that experience been like? Like trying to break into the scene here, because like it is a tough scene to crack.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's it's like frustratingly hard to crack, I feel. And I think by no fault of like. You know, not to disparage the Vancouver music scene or the city in general, because I feel like there are so many talented musicians, and so many, you know, awesome, open, friendly, you know, nice people. I think maybe just like just the hustle and bustle of life in this city maybe just kind of lends itself to people being kind of isolated and kind of siloed and. It was a weird experience kind of like trying to get into the music scene here because it is it's hard. It's really hard.
In the city, like the city itself does a really thorough job of kind of like choking people out of it, right? Like there's not a lot of places where somebody can get a lot of eyes on them to play a show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, well, yeah, I was watching, it's so funny, I was watching this mini documentary about the music scene in Montreal by comparison, and a lot of people that they were interviewing, they were just like, oh yeah, like we're trying to get performance spaces and like studios and stuff, and they were like, but the rooms in the buildings are too big. I was like, excuse me?
First of all, how dare you?
Yeah, how dare you? I think that's a big thing here, yeah, is it's like, you know... there's a DIY space getting shut down every month. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and like there was always like there has been magical spaces that have existed, but sometimes they've existed for like a year and a half, and then they disappear.
Yeah,
and then just like it's hard to really like really develop a scene that it, that is diverse in terms of its sound.
Yeah.
There. So.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's always hope.
Always.
You always have that hope. But we will miss you.
Yeah, I'll miss you too, Jamie.
But all the best in Montreal. I do hope that you find that home really quick in that scene. And I think it'll be more than welcoming of your music. So
hell yeah.
I do want to play another one of yours before we go here. This is a single that you released in August of last year.
Yeah.
It's called Please. Can you please tell me? It's really good. I've been doing this for a sec, Matt.
All right, shows.
Can you tell me a little bit about this track? When you released it, we didn't get a chance to really chat with you about it. Give us the lowdown on Please.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect kind of intro coming off of the conversation we just had, because Please is written was written out of kind of the frustration of just feeling really isolated and alone as a musician and just kind of just in life in general. Not to beat the social media thing to death, but being like, oh, I'm always on my phone, and I'm craving interaction with people and with other musicians and stuff. And so I kind of wrote the song in that way of from the perspective of somebody who, is trying to tell everyone that they want to be left alone, but secretly they don't, and he's kind of being like, oh, I can do this all on my own. I'm fine. It's kind of just touching on that theme.
Yeah, David, do you find that sentiment is shared with some of the other people that you've worked with in the community?
Oh, 100%. I feel like most of the musicians I talk to complain of the same thing, that it's just and I don't even think it's to call back to our conversation, I don't think it's a Vancouver thing necessarily. I think it's just nowadays bands are, first of all, getting smaller, I feel. There's so many more people who are just doing what I'm doing, where it's just them. Everything's online, and there's not as many opportunities, I think, to interact and form communities online, because you're just busy trying to sell your quote-unquote product or whatever. And I think a lot of people are struggling with that kind of erasing of community that I think has happened in the wake of this sort of social media kind of taking over the music scene.
And with the pandemic too, right?
And the pandemic.
That was that's where people went during that time.
And yeah, yeah.
They got pushed even more online, even though we were already kind of there. Do you see, force you to get all prophetic here, but do you see a world where maybe people get kind of figuratively throw their phone away and are just I don't care. I need to go to the shows. I need to get back out there again.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I kind of hope that, not even necessarily that happens, but that people kind of just get pushed into a space where how do I phrase this? That our phones are more of a tool to connect kind of scenes, that it's not so much just you get a promoted post from a musician that's just hey, please buy my new pre-save my single or whatever, and instead you actually have communities of people springing up and building things together and creating scenes together. And I really hope that that's kind of where we're going with social media, and I kind of think it is going to happen, because it's I think more and more people are getting fed up with the whole promotional shtick that we're all sort of kind of getting sucked into as artists.
Yeah. I think I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think people are kind of over having to do all this work for just maybe one or two other sets of eyes. Right.
Yeah.
You want to be able to organically grow all that together.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
You scratch my back, I scratch yours kind of thing, but legitimately care about the work that other people are doing.
100%.
Right? So, that's a great way to go into the song. This is Please by Kane Price. You are listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. right, that is it from us here tonight on the Vancouver Mixtape here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thanks so much for joining me in studio, Matt.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me.
I look forward to when you return. We'll get you in here again. We'll chat some more. And we'll just do this, see how you're doing.
Right on.
Playing new stuff. I feel like you're one of those guys that, even though you maybe relocate, you always have a little Vancouver artist in your heart. So you auto-invite.
Auto-invite
back.
Hell yeah. We'll do Zoom call.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, you can find this on your favorite podcast listening platform, unless it's Spotify, which you can't. But you can find it other places. We'll be back next week, in a couple of weeks, with another show. Until then, thanks so much for listening. West Indies Culture Shock is up next.
Bye,
good night.
Everybody. Bye.